Justin Lohmann joining us in a few seconds. But before we do so, Lawson, what is our today's book offer?
Our book offer for the day is hashtag as we go. That is the code word to send in to 0491-064-669 for the book As We Go by Alejandro Bullion. Now, this book is all about becoming like the master through authentic discipleship, becoming more like Jesus and leading people closer to God. This is something that the Bible says all Christians should participate in, that we're all called to make disciples. We're all called to lead people to Christ and to help them to grow in Christ as well as ourselves. So, hey, if you want to be blessed, if you want to become more like Jesus, if you want to enable others to become more like Jesus, 0491-064-669, hashtag as we go.
Very good. And we have Justin Lohmann joining us today for the interview. Justin, has anybody ever offered you $97 billion for anything that you've made?
I'm lucky you get $97, mate. Like,
Real.
I have been enjoying Farmer Lawson this morning, but old McLawson had a farm. Boy, oh boy. Like,
there you go.
Agricultural insights. This is awesome.
If you ever need anyone to house sit your farm, you can count on Lawson and Shanna. They'll do the everything that's necessary.
That's awesome, mate. So, I'm very, very excited.
Justin, what happened this year? Oh, I mean, week in the Trump's administration.
What hasn't happened?
I know, right?
There's so much material here, but I want to point out some big things for the listeners this morning.
Okay.
The Second World War is coming to an end. The United States has really, we don't want to say occupied Europe, but they've got bases all across Europe, yeah. Germany particularly. They have whole brigades of soldiers and everything there, really since the Second World War. And the defense of Europe under NATO has been carried, well, we can't say exclusively, but almost entirely by the US.
Yeah.
We've witnessed through the speech of J.D. Vance to the European leaders in Germany there. They met for a defense conference, Munich, I think it was. And
yeah, correct.
And then we've got the new appointed head of the U.S. military making it very clear that America will no longer continue to fund the war that's going on between Russia and Ukraine, and the deal that is going to be done between suing for peace between Trump and Putin is really not involving the European leaders. America is just going to do this deal and they're out.
Yeah.
This is not a small thing. And they really attacked the European leaders in the speech about their immigration policies, and they almost made it about domestic politics. So that's one big thing that has happened amongst literally hundreds of other things.
Well, that was I saw some excerpts of that J.D. Vance speech. And he said a few interesting things. He says, you know, why are you using Soviet era words like misinformation and disinformation? You know, we are all always thought that we are defending Europe based on shared values, but basically he's saying we're second guessing if we do have same values, because it looks like you're censoring Christians, you're censoring your own citizens, you're opened your borders for mass unchecked immigration. And so he said, I think that one of the quotes that he mentioned is that the greatest threat of Europe is not Russia, it's not China, it's not anything outside, but it's the enemies is inside, is within.
That's correct. He didn't hold anything back.
No. And look, that is very interesting, because a lot of people were finding it strange that, hey, is Donald Trump, you know, just negotiating unilaterally with Russia? They're not involving Ukraine in the conversation. They're not involving Europe in the conversation. And of course, Ukraine will come to that table when the time is right. But it's interesting how the European leaders are thinking really left behind.
They're not paying, according to Trump. And if you don't pay, you don't get a seat at the table. And Trump has asked that they would put 5% of their budgets towards defense. They don't even do 2% as being a requirement of the NATO treaty. So, yeah, that's not a small thing. America's focus, they want Greenland. They want the Panama Canal. They want the Pacific and the Atlantic. They want to protect the homeland. Yeah. This is about America first. And that involves us. It involves Australia and the outer island chains in the Pacific. They are basically walking away from Europe and said, you guys can defend this place. You don't need us. We have some other things to focus on. And this is a big military realignment. And China is at the center of this realignment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also saw that Donald Trump signed a few interesting things. He cited the reciprocal tariff. It's interesting, Justin, we were talking about here. Trump said before that tariff was the number one word, most beautiful word in the dictionary. Then someone corrected him, and then he said, look, I want to retract. I think that there are more beautiful words than tariffs, like love, family, God. And he says, God comes first. But says, but tariffs are the fourth most beautiful word.
He's a funny man.
So that is very interesting. What else has been going on that you think it's worthwhile for us to keep an eye on?
I could talk about a thousand things, but let me get the listeners to watch. This is my recommendation. You can go to YouTube and watch a documentary. There's at least three episodes up. The fourth has dropped, but I haven't watched it yet. It's called The Cover Up. Cover Up being one word.
Okay.
It is about basically gain of function and Anthony Fauci. And I'm telling you guys, this will get you ahead of the news cycle. Because there is a day of vengeance coming that won't be by God, it will be by man. And what has gone on, if you watch this documentary, and okay, there's different documentaries, Blaze TV have put this up. The guy that's made this doco, it will make you'll have an emotional reaction as you watch this. If you live through COVID, which we all did, it is unbelievable the cover-up that has gone on, particularly with Anthony Fauci and his whole team. And if you want to know what's about to happen in the news cycle and where is this Trump administration going, the fact that Trump has got RFK as the head of Health and Human Services, $1.7 trillion budget. Of all the people that he could put in there when he wrote the book, The Real Anthony Fauci, if you want to know what's coming next, I think this documentary is going to give you incredible insight. And to see that this whole COVID pandemic, it did come from a lab. And they're admitting that now. And it was funded through all these different things that Elon Musk is unmasking. It was funded by the US. Wow. And now, okay, we're all...
Which, to be very honest, it's definitely something that, you know, a lot of people suspected. It's just like, so how do you get the evidence for that? But apparently the evidence is out there, isn't it?
Guys, if you watch this... It will, I've kind of had moved on. Like it's in the past. We don't want to go back to COVID. It's done now. And there's a lot of hoo-ha about the vaccinations and everything else. But actually, Dick Cheney's involvement in after 9/11 with creating this gain of function viruses that they use, these natural viruses that can be weaponized, and the US's involvement despite them banning that, despite saying, no, we're not doing it, and how Fauci was able to get around all that. Just watch this documentary. It is an excellent documentary. It's not conspiracy. The facts are just placed there again and again. It's overwhelming. And I've got to say, it made me red hot. It made me mad to watch this and to see that this is really what led to all the things we went through.
Send me the link and I can send the link. So if anyone is interested in seeing this, just text me.
Just go to YouTube, even without it. You just put in the cover up.
Okay.
And Blaze TV have put it up. And it's careful, it's clear eye documentary. It's still unfolding. I haven't watched episode 4 yet, but I'm telling you guys, they're interviewing senators, I'm all sorts of stuff. It's something to watch.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
It's easy to forget. 5-year anniversary about to hit us from COVID-19, and We're all still, you know, especially within the church, going on about vaccinations and how it was all handled. But wow, the thing that led to this, and the fact to this day, this gain of function research has not slowed down. Ukraine's role in gain of function labs, Wuhan lab, all of these things, this has not slowed down. This is the new nuclear weapons that they have been developing, and
which were supposed to be banned from the Convention of Geneva, but apparently it's not. And from the Treaty of Versailles, from World War One, I was reading on the weekend, World War One, where they started with gassing people, the world observed all mustard the horrors gas. With yep. mustard gas, yep. and said, so, you know what, we're never going to use chemical weapons again. Only that, so that the U.S. in the 1980s would do this through Iraq to use these weapons against Iran, and all funded unfortunately, history tells us, with U.S. aid. So it's very interesting. They come up and say, this weapon, this is banned, we're never going to do this, only to do so through dark channels in the back.
And this was initiated after 9/11. Dick Cheney was very much involved in this. Watch the doco, guys. It does affect all of us. It's our history now, but it's also probably our future. And I think if you want to know where this legal side of things are going in the US, the fact that Trump put RFK, who wrote the book, who's done more research on Fauci than anyone else, the real Anthony Fauci and the gain of function research, the fact that now he's the boss of this stuff tells you what Trump's planning.
Wow. And they, and Justin, tell me this thing. Help me and my radio friend here to connect the dots. What role do you think that the recurrence potentially of these kinds of, you know, man-made or massive pandemics can have from a biblical prophecy perspective?
Well, you know the verse that just pops into my head?
No, which one?
Men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things coming upon the earth. Mm. That's how it fits in for me. They have done so much with genetics as well to target racial groups. They can even target an individual with their genetic. The way they target these viruses to your DNA sequence, all sorts of stuff they're playing with, which is truly horrific stuff that we really don't want to ever go near. But the fact that human beings' knowledge is increasing as it has, it's created a very dangerous world.
Absolutely. And again, whenever we have a position of widespread fear, we also have, you know, more willingness to accept radical solutions that often curtail people's rights, freedoms, and in particular, the Bible says, freedoms to worship and freedoms Amen. To worship God. So I think that we need to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to be cognizant and aware that the Bible does talk about a scenario where all kinds of tragedies and pandemics and other catastrophic elements can happen, and knowing that in the end of the day, the one thing that we can never let go is our faithfulness to Jesus, because Amen. He loved us first.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Our text line is 0491-064-669. Let us know what you think about the news, the things that we're talking about. If you have questions, comments, but you know, we want to know. We want to know. We also want to give you books. We want to give you a book. It's called As We Go, Becoming Like the Master Through Authentic Discipleship by Alejandro Bullion. It's a great book about how to live the gospel in practice. It's so important.
Mm. Hey, I also just want to send through a quick apology. In that last news section, there was a quote from the 60 Minutes interview that had been done with Peter Dutton last night or the night before. And there was some choice language used that we definitely don't use here on The Breakfast Show.
Yeah, sorry for that.
Yeah, it was, again, it was a cut from a recording. We get our news sent to us. So we're not sure why they put
that in.
It's
a third-party provider.
That's right.
It's not an in-house thing.
Yeah, which usually we endorse, but hey, yeah, I'm not sure why they decided to take that clip, but sorry about that.
It's a secular news.
Yeah.
But we like to put it on our show because we want everybody to stay on our channel.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people who want to know what the news is happening every morning, especially. Yeah. And so we play the news so that people won't have to jump stations to try to catch the news. Yeah.
That's right. Sorry
for the choice language.
Sorry
guys.
For the choice language. We wish they had added a beep.
Something like that.
Down. It would be much better.
Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. It's now time for a quiz. Please, producer Shell.
All right. In what book of the Bible do we find women working as stone masons?
In what book of the Bible
do we find women working as stone masons?
I have an answer.
You have an answer.
I don't know if it's right.
You got it.
Hey!
That's right.
Bro.
Just got to think about what's happening in the book.
I am on a hot streak, bro. I'm doing well.
You are crushing it today.
Bro, awesome.
There you go.
Women being
stonemasons.
As stonemasons. Okay, I'll have to think about it for a second.
I believe in you. But hey, that number is 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer to that one. Do you want to send that through that question one more time for us, producer Shell?
Yep, so we're after the book of the Bible. In what book do we find women working as stonemasons?
0491-064-669. You're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. Scaffy is typing up an answer. He's thinking about it. What do you reckon? What do you reckon, Scaffy? Are you confident?
He doesn't look confident.
Not confident. I have like two options here.
One of those options is correct.
Let's see if this is the right one.
No. He had two on his computer screen. He deleted one.
Okay. All right. Oh, but you know what? It was worth the try. Because I never paid attention to that detail. Have you? I mean, you probably went because of the context.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I never paid attention to that specific detail of naming women as stonemasons. So that's going to be interesting. I'll have to check that one in my Bible. Mm. Very good, Lawson. Do we have any messages that came through in our text line that we would like to read?
Hey, we have a bunch of messages coming through. A lot of people are requesting a link for the documentary that was talked about by Justin Lawman, who we had on the show in the previous hour talking about Anthony Fauci, COVID pandemic, all this kind of information that is coming out at the moment. So, hey, people are sending in wanting to get... So, I believe the documentary itself is called The Cover Up, and they're releasing...
You can. If you would like the link for that documentary, just text us here and we'll send that to you. Just say Cover Up and it will send you the YouTube link.
Absolutely. Hey, and as well, looking on the text line, Wayne had a reflection for us here. He says, good morning. How does this sound, brother? Hesed goes with agape love. Agape being a Greek word for one of the Greek words that is translated love in the Bible. Both of these words come to life for our understandings in Jesus in the flesh. Jesus surrendered all and died for even his enemies. We can only understand these godly words through Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely, Wayne. I think that you're spot on there.
And he finished off that thought and he said, Peter showed phileo love. Later he gave his life in agape love for Jesus. I hope I will understand hesed and agape love. And he draws out the comparison there that we see coming from the end of the book of John, which is that, you know, Jesus asking Peter, hey, do you agape me? You know, do you have for me a love that would, you know, give everything, that would surrender and sacrifice everything? And Peter at that time is like, I don't know if I can live up to that. He responds with, no, well, I phileo love you. You know, I think given the fact that at this point he's being restored, you know, the Peter for once in his life stopped being arrogant. And he's like, hey, Jesus, this is where I'm really at. But eventually Peter would, you know, traditionally at least, suffer crucifixion upside down. And, you know, in a really hectic, gnarly way, he'd give his life for Christ. But also, he would live for Christ. He would live as someone who sacrificed and gave for Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have Ila requesting the book as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people requesting that book. Again, hashtag as we go, becoming like the master through authentic discipleship by Alejandro Bullon. You want this. It will be a blessing to you. There are a couple of different books in this kind of class of making disciples and reaching people. I think that there's another classic, but I think it's Peter Ronfeldt's If You Can Eat, You Can Make Disciples. Like this idea of the need that we have in church to come together and unite as a people. I've been obsessed with this topic recently. I've been studying through the book of Ephesians. I've been preaching through the book of Ephesians in our church. And this idea that God has brought us all in, has brought us all together into one body is so incredible because, again, in you know, there are a few people in your life that you would kind of drop everything for and reasons for dropping everything for. And honestly, that's kind of fine. Like, you know, there are some people who mean a lot to you, who you have responsibility and care for. I'm sure, Scaffy, if you got the call, hey, you know, whether it's Anton or Katerina, your kids, or your wife, Camilla, hey, that, you know, like, they're having some issue, man, you'd be out of here. And praise the Lord, because that's the kind of person that you are. You are united with your family. You have their best interest at heart. And what Jesus is advocating for and what the Bible is advocating for is that we would have an experience similar in the church. The church would become a family who supports one another, who loves one another. And I just know for me, like, throwback. We talked about Mephibosheth earlier in the show, right? I just throw it back all the way to my 17-year-old self. my 17-year-old self sitting at home, hungover, not living my best life, getting the text message from a friend of mine to come over to your place, Scaffy, and to eat good pasta, to listen to a powerful sermon, to spend time in God's word. And yeah, I just felt like, wow, these people love me and have supported me and cared for me. And, you know, I can reflect on the place that I am now and I can say, hey, it came out of Jesus working in my life through the people that loved and cared and supported me and who were there for me. So yeah, hey, look, I think that this idea of discipleship, unity, building each other up, it's beautiful, it's amazing. Hashtag as we go, becoming like the master through authentic discipleships. Hey, we can be more like Jesus through supporting others. We would love you guys to have this experience.
Yeah, if you want to know how to truly change the world, it's not through politics, it's not through technology, it's through
real
discipleship. It's through living the word of God and sharing it with others and loving and caring for others. That's how we change the world for good. That's how we impact. Very good, Lawson. So let's get into our Bible study. I'm actually quite eager. I'm an eager beaver for today's Bible study because we're going to be talking about free will, love, and divine providence. Mm. And this is the thing. The thing is, Lawson, there is a number of people who believe that everything that happens in this world happens because God wants it to happen.
Okay. This is classic. This is
everything. You know. So, but does that stack up with the Bible?
This is such a good question. You know, people use the moniker, everything happens for a reason. And particularly in Christian circles, it's that reason is that, you know, God acted and influenced our world in a way to specifically draw out that outcome. And I think if that were the case, there is a lot of questions to ask God about why things have happened that have happened.
That's right. So look, if Radio Friend, if you were taught that by your Bible teachers, that everything that happens, absolutely everything happens, it's for a purpose, it's for because God wishes so, because God is sovereign and so on. Well, this Bible study is going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to appeal for you. And I think it's going to help you have a more complete and realistic picture of the Bible. Because this is the thing, Lawson, when you're studying the Bible, sometimes we can get verses that appear to be saying something, but you also have to balance them out with verses that are saying something else.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And you can get a complete picture.
Yeah.
So let's get into that story. But there's a very interesting illustration here that's going to help us, Lawson. And that's a story about a youth pastor teaching his middle school group.
Mm-hmm.
So the youth pastor says, God is sovereign. That means he controls everything that happens. And then one puzzled middle schooler said to this teacher, so do you mean that God was in control when my dog died? So why would God kill my dog?
Great question.
And trying to answer this question, the youth pastor replied, well, that's a tough one, but sometimes God lets us go through hard times so that we are prepared for even more difficult things in the future. I remember how hard it was when my dog died, but going through that helped me deal with an even more difficult time later when my grandmother died. Does that make sense? And after a long pause, the middle school kid replied, okay, so God killed my dog to prepare me for when he's going to kill my grandmother.
That's wild.
That bro, it's wild, but let me tell you, this
so
kid has
real.
A point.
This is so
this kid
real.
Is following the logic, man.
Yeah, yeah. So God killed my dog so that he can prepare me for when he's going to kill my grandma.
Because ultimately, there's look, if we're not mincing word backs, and of course, people that teach that doctrine that everything happens, they will always come up with words that will try to soften it up a little bit. No, it's not that God is killing your grandmother or your... Well, no, if God has appointed everything from the beginning, is he's deciding everything that happens. He's deciding the day of death of every person. And I'm using the words here. He's deciding. I'm not talking about if he foreknew, if he had the foreknowledge. I'm talking about that he actually actively decided. Well, you might as well just say that he caused it.
Wow.
And some people go all the way to say that even your feelings, Lawson, everything that's going on, it's being produced by God.
Yeah.
And the ultimate, let's say, consequence of that doctrine is that God has even chosen some people to inherit eternal life and some people to inherit eternal destruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's called predestination.
Yeah.
God already, not only he knows, but he foreordained. So some people are, you know, walking and roaming through this planet with a hope that perhaps they will be saved. But God said, no, sorry. Does not matter what you do, what you won't do. I have already pre-chosen you that you are going to die and to lose your life.
Yeah.
And they often couple that with the also wrong idea that hell is an eternal place of suffering and torture.
Which is like those two things together is just
it's like
poison,
the combo of
man.
Death. It's like
man.
The it's a this is a poison.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491-064-669.
I had a discussion one time with someone who believed this regarding the concept of the elect. I was actually a very new Christian at the time, and this wasn't a doctrine that I held to or I believed in. I didn't necessarily have a huge biblical basis to prove my point, but I was just having this conversation. I remember asking him the question. I was like, okay, so, because the one verse that I did know that I did have on hand is like, this is how we know that we love him, that we keep his commandments, right? 1 John. And it's this awesome. Like, First John is amazing because it just gives us the clear standard of, like, how do you know that you're operating within God's will? How do you know that you're living a life following after God and that you can say that you love Jesus? Oh, you keep his commandments and you love others. And so, and being that salvation is very much based on our relationship with God, it's based on our love for God. And this is what's communicated by Jesus throughout his ministry. I asked him the question, like, okay, hey, let's say you are in the middle of robbing a supermarket when Jesus comes back, right? You're in the supermarket, you're stealing, and not for like, I have to steal some bread to feed my family. Like, no, you're stealing from the cash register because you're a thief. Like, you are categorically in the wrong for doing a terrible sin. Like, what if you're in that position, right? And Jesus comes back. If you're elect, then is that okay? And he's like, well, yeah, like, you'll be saved anyway. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, that's totally fine. But then he said to me something. He said this. He's like, oh, but an elect person, like someone who's been chosen by God, they wouldn't do something like that. An elect person lives their life for God. And then I asked him the question. And this is like, I was young, and I'm kind of asking questions like this middle schooler. And I was like, oh, but okay. So then, have you ever sinned? Like, have you sinned since you've become a Christian? Because I asked him, I'm like, do you think you're elect? And he's like, well, yeah, like, I follow after God. And I'm like, have you ever sinned since you become a Christian? Like, do you sin and repent? And he's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, well, if you think you're elect, but you sin, how do you know that you're elect? And all of a sudden, like, there was, like, a bit of a pause in the conversation and a bit of, like, because I repent of my sins. I'm like, oh, but do you reckon there's people that have repented of their sins and then have gone? Like, do you think that there are people in your church right now who aren't elect? And he was like, yeah, probably. And I'm like, do you reckon they've had an experience of repentance? Like, oh, no, not really. But it's like, how can you know that they didn't have it? And it's just, man, all of these questions. And it just, like, it really...
They never add up when you start asking too much questions.
It never came together. And I think for this guy...
And this is the thing, you know, that there's a preacher, a communist, you know, preacher that had that, you know, that theory.
Yeah.
And this is what he said. Look, yes, God make, you know, if you sin, God made you sin. However, you are fully responsible for the sin that you have committed. And I say, how these two things, they add together?
Yeah.
I mean, if God made me do this, how am I responsible for it?
Yeah.
And says, no, it is. It's the mystery, but that's what.
But happens. God made you sin, and then are you responsible for repentance? Like, but isn't God controlling all my actions?
So,
because then there are people who do the other way around.
We basically become puppets.
Yeah.
And the ability to choose is just an illusion.
Yeah.
So God is eluding us. So look, let's see if the Bible has a better picture to offer. Because this picture is, I think with all due respect. But I think that it actually, particularly when you're trying to explain the good word of God to other people, if you're trying to explain the doctrine of predestination and this extreme sovereignty of God, which is not what sovereignty means, I think you're doing a disservice.
Yeah,
absolutely. Disservice to the Christian cause. And let's look into some Bible verses as well, just so we can people don't accuse us, Lawson, of just, you know, sharing our own opinions here.
That's right. I think it's really important to read into.
By the way, you actually quoted Lawson.
Yeah.
In your previous story about the chickens, you quoted to me one of the Bible verses that I think are powerfully illustrate what we're trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've noticed that?
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it. Hey, we are going to get into that soon, but hey, where are we starting here?
Let's start with Psalm 81.
Right here.
Verses 11 to 14.
The Bible says in verse 11, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn hearts to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries.
Oh, Lawson, okay, let me just ask you a couple of questions, all right?
Okay.
What was God's will?
God wanted Israel to follow him.
God wanted Israel to follow him. It says here,
Oh,
that my people would listen to me.
Yeah.
And if they listened to him, what would God do for them?
He'd protect them.
He'd protect them from their enemies.
Yeah.
But what happened in reality?
Mm-hmm. They didn't.
So he gave them over the stubbornness of their heart. And God said, you know what? I gave you over. So we are listening here, a frustrated God who had the best intentions, the best plan for his people, and yet the people refused to do what God will was.
And it's, again...
Do things happen in this world that are not according to God's will? Well, apparently, according to Psalm 81, verse 11, yeah.
Again, we're reading this story of a frustrated God, and I just don't know how we can read this from a place of predestination, because this would just be a charade. Like, God's frustrations with the people, and this is the conversations that...
What could I have said? But I appoint, I made you rebel against me so that you will know what happens when...
You know, you would experience that. But no. God is genuinely here pleading for his people.
Let's go to the next one in Lawson. Isaiah 30, 15. There's so many Bible verses that talk about that. But we just want to say, so you will know. And then we're going to also ask the question, okay, what next?
Right. Absolutely. In verse 15, the Bible says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." Continues on here. I'm just pulling
in verse,
passage up. "But you would not."
That's right. My passage says, "But you were not willing." So God says, "Look, I want to save you. If you repent, if you rest in me, if you trust, you will be saved. There's the quietness and trust in me is your strength, but you were not willing. And therefore, you will not receive that salvation from your enemies that I've been promising."
Yeah. It continues on in verse 18 here. It says, "Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." Yeah. So he says here, okay, the answer to this problem is like, okay, Israel, you know, won't come to me. You wouldn't come. You were too stubborn. You were, you know, too hard-hearted. But you know what? I'll be gracious.
You are not willing. Because to say, oh, well, this would, in the predestination theology lesson, that wouldn't be a problem. Oh, you were not willing. But I'm willing, God's saying.
Yeah.
And I'm going to impose my will. So, no. You're not willing. Therefore, I'm not going to do what I wanted to do. Your desires are actually blocking me.
Yeah.
From doing my will. Let's go to the next one, Lawson. Isaiah 66, verse 4.
Isaiah 66 and verse 4, the Bible says, "So will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them? Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear.
Ugh.
But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I did not delight."
Wow. God is saying here again, there's going to be punishment to Israel. I'll bring to them that which they don't want, because when I called, nobody answered.
Mm.
Is God's word unfruitful? Is the problem with God's word here? No. The problem is with the usage of the freedom of choice, free will. Free will in the Bible, it's a very real thing. It's a very real thing.
Yeah.
God is saying, like, with God's words, like, he creates that which does not exist into existence. With God's word, he creates that which is not alive into life. And God is saying here, I called, no one answered.
No one answered.
I spoke, no one listened. And this is why, you don't want to know what is even more powerful than God's word?
What?
The freedom of choice that God has given to
us. Yeah, wow.
Because that's the only, that can actually stop God on its tracks. From doing the good will that he wants to do.
And what we're saying here, again, to the Calvinists is complete heresy. Like, our
bro,
will
I'm
can
not taking
stop,
this from the book of Lawson.
Can stop, our will can stop God. From... like our will is, we're more powerful than God. It's like, no. We're less loving than God. Yeah. Like, we are less willing to, God is so overwhelmingly loving and caring that our will, our choice matters. To him. Yeah. He will never.
He's an ultimate respecter of people's genuine choice. Because as we saw, there is no love. Love does not exist except there is a complete and perfect freedom to choose whether to love or whether not to.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
This morning we're talking about predestination here and how the Bible
paints God's sovereignty in, I believe, a more complex and more beautiful light. Not everything that happens, Lawson, according to these texts, these passages that we have been reading, is according to God's will. So God allows everything that happens to happen. Can you say that with confidence? Everything that happens, God is aware.
Yeah.
Everything that happens, God has allowed to happen. Can you say that, yes, to that as well?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yep. But yep. Not yep. Everything that happens is according to God's will.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I was saying this subject with someone that had that very strong view that everything happened. But I'll tell you exactly what happened in that conversation after we do the quiz and the book.
Producer Shell, quiz question.
Let's do it. So answer to our last question was in the book of Nehemiah, and there's a little poetic license there that doesn't actually refer to them as stonemasons, but it does refer to them as repairers of the wall.
Okay, what's the passage?
Nehemiah 3, verse 12. It talks about...
We've got a challenge. It's called,
Shalom and his daughters.
Made repairs. And his daughters.
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
That's very interesting. Never realized that, so that's great.
Dude, girl's getting it done.
Getting it done.
All right. Last question for the morning. Who were Pelty and Gedel?
Who were they?
Yeah. Do you guys know without me giving the multiples?
No, give them multiples.
I'm going to take a stab, you know, because I'm feeling confident now.
All right.
Okay. What were the names?
Okay, so it's
Pelty.
I'm gonna drag him over to your screen so you can help me with my pronunciation because I'm so bad at pronouncing. There we go.
Pelty.
Pelty and Gadiel.
Gadiel. I'm gonna say this.
No, they were not.
Okay.
No, I have no idea. I don't know these gentlemen. Please tell me who they are.
I'm gonna give you a multiple choice.
Okay.
And then you can hopefully narrow it down. Mm-hmm. Were they A, sons of King David? Were they B, wives of King David? Were they C, two of the 10 spies that searched Canaan? Or were they D, Philistine kings?
Okay. I'm going to say this.
We're giving them a moment. Yes, we've got a correct answer. Okay.
Good on you, Lawson. I wrote priests initially, just because there was two of them, and usually like priests were serving together. But that was before the multiples. But now, given the multiples, now we know.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, you thought they were priests? Yeah, priests could be.
Yeah. I just remember like they could have been, particularly because like often priests are mentioned in, you know, it would be like two brothers or something that'll be priests. But hey, 0491-064-669 is
what were those two fellas' names
text
again?
Text is Pelty and Gadiel.
All right.
Gadiel. 0491-064-669 is the number two text. What were the options again, producer Shell?
Were they sons of King David? Were they wives of King David? Mm-hmm. Were they spies for King David? No. Were they spies for Canaan, or were they Philistine kings? So those are your options.
All right. 0491-064-669.
Gadiel means God is my fortune.
Ah, okay. What does Pelty mean?
Pelty means my deliverance.
Oh, that's cute.
That's very nice, eh?
Okay, they have
good
like,
names.
Mate, bring him back. We're bringing back Pelty, bro. Yeah. My first son. Little Pelty Walters.
Pelty's cute, though.
Little Pelty Walters.
My deliverance and God is my fortune.
Anyways, you're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. I come up with such fantastic names and, you know,
I think that your first show and no go, Lawson. I doubt that you were able to strike some of these names when it gets your time
that's
to
right.
make.
Yeah, hey,
the first
comes
fight
to show.
As a married couple is going to be about Pelty Walty.
0491-064-669. Send through an answer. We also have our code word hashtag as we go, which you can send in to win the book As We Go by Alejandro Bullion, Becoming Like the Master Through Authentic Discipleship.
Hey, do you know why this book is called As We Go?
Because Jesus sent out disciples?
No, because you know when Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, Jesus says, go therefore
yeah.
and make disciples, mm-hmm. baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all these things that I have taught you, and so on. The only verb that is that we often think that go is a command, is an imperative. It's not. We sometimes think that baptize is the imperative. It's not. When you look at the verbs, you see that the only imperative is make disciples.
Wow.
And then it says make disciples as you go about your life. No, because a lot of times we think, oh, go therefore make disciples. Oh, I cannot go anywhere. I'm stuck here in my home. You know, I'm stuck in my city. I'm stuck in my country.
I have
cannot
kids
go
to look after.
It's no, 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 no. It's make disciples. That's the command. As you go about your life, as you baptize them, as you teach them. But it's as, that's why it's as you go. Because it's something that every single human being can do, irrespective of where you are. And I think that this book is going to help to make that even clearer. Very good, Lawson. So let's come back here to a couple of other passages as well that I wanted to show with you. One passage is in Matthew chapter 7, in the Lord's Prayer. So, or sorry, chapter 6.
In Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be reading the Lord's Prayer there.
Oh, it's not in chapter 6. Where's the Lord's Prayer again?
Yeah, it is in chapter 6, verse 5.
It is chapter 6, yeah. Verse, yeah, okay.
Verse 8 onwards. Okay. Or verse maybe 9 onwards, yeah. Do you want us to read it?
Yeah, yeah.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Okay, pause. We pray this like everybody knows this prayer. Dude. It's the most famous prayer in the world. You know, people
shout
in
out
all
Catholic
countries,
school.
Everybody.
Morning,
and it's
every
an amazing
morning
prayer. There's lots that can be said. We can actually do a whole More Like Him segment about that prayer, Lawson. And we're going to spend lots of time here when that time comes. But let me just say this thing. It's saying here, why are you asking God your will be done on earth as it is in heaven?
Great question. Is it because, potentially, if you don't ask God, that it can't be done?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's basically exactly what it's saying. It said that God's will not always get done on earth. In heaven, yes, 100%.
Yeah.
With God's angels, no angel that is currently in heaven will ever reject any command from God. Here on earth, the story is different. This is why. Otherwise, if the prayer needed to be rewritten, if we were to go with the theology that, you know, God always gets his will. Because it says, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom to come, your will be done as it is on earth and heaven already. It doesn't say, it says on earth, please, as it is in heaven. The only place where God's will is being done, no questions asked, all the time, 100% of the circumstances, is in heaven. And again, Lawson, another passage that you mentioned about the chicks, and Jesus comparing himself to a hen. What was that passage again?
Yeah, I read it from Matthew, but also in Luke 13:34, the Bible says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not
willing." This is the word here. But you did not want
to. I wanted to do this.
This is what I wanted to do. This is what, but my will was not done.
Yeah.
Because you have rejected me. You have despised me. Look, I once had this conversation with a person, and this is the answer that they gave me, Lawson. I said, hey, but you're saying that God is actively deciding, because you know what, you know, particularly when someone dies or there's some tragedy with someone, and so, you know, some people try to comfort you saying, oh, you know, that was the
best.
It was
their time.
That was their time. That was God's will, you know, for them. And they say, like, how do you say to a person that is grieving, perhaps for losing a child by the product of terror or evil or something incredibly a tragedy happens. And you tell them, yeah, look, it was God's will. And you know what the person told me? And I think that in the sincerity of their heart, but I think that this sincerity is misguided. It's not informed by God's word. You know what they say?
What?
Oh, you don't say this to them when they're grieving.
Oh, yikes.
So they're saying, look, so basically they're saying, yes, yes, it's true. Yes, I totally believe this, but I'm just not going to say this because it's not helpful. Yeah. But that's totally the case. Yeah. God totally appointed that and ordained that.
Yeah. So God's methods are essentially like so detestable to people that like, hey, actually, you know, I'm just going to obscure it until they, you know, get on the same page as me.
And do you know it as well what happens? Every time, and this is what is the other, the dangerous cousin of that philosophy, is that they also make me think that anything that is good happening to me means that it's because I deserve it. You know? So if anything if anything bad happens, it's because God's will. If anything good happens, it's also because there's God's will in the sense that I have nothing to what can I say?
Nothing to learn, nothing to change.
No, it's you know, because I'm predestined to that. Yeah. So, which often can think, so meaning that if I'm receiving a blessing and I'm not being faithful to God, but I'm still receiving a blessing, well, does it mean that then that my unfaithfulness is justified? Mm. And of course not. So what do we make with that? Not everything that happens is God's will, unfortunately. However, God is aware of everything that happens. God has foreknowledge of the future. You never catch God by surprise. And even though not everything that happens is God's will, God said that, number one, he can make us stronger and he can help us and he can transform out of curses, transform them into blessings somehow. And the most important thing is that does not matter how great or how big the tragedy is, God says, I have the capacity to revert it and to bring real justice and reparation if you trust in me.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Austin, we have had a flurry of messages. Let's try to read them all and see what we can do.
Okay, so I got a lot of messages here. Firstly, from Chanel, morning guys. The previous Bible study we're going through, 20 Million Movement Study, mentioned the distinction between agape and phileo. The author essentially said phileo wasn't inferior, as the Bible has texts where God himself uses it, but I'm still confused on the topic, and the fact that lesson authors themselves and other leaders don't seem to agree doesn't help. Great show as always. Have a good day.
Oh, thank you, Chanel. Let me see if I can explain that in a way that makes sense. So, there's in Greek there's four different words that we translate as just generally love, and they all encapsulate a certain portion of love. Agape love is a love that is a loving principle. Okay, it's like love your enemies. It doesn't necessarily involve any emotions or feelings towards it. You're doing because of your decision. And God has this love for us. And we can also have this love. This love can be misguided as well. The Bible says that some people have agape for the world. Phileo, on the other hand, that's the love for friends. Okay? So it's a love for affinity. Love like, I like you a lot. That's kind of... So one is not inferior to the other. They're just different. I think that agape, you can say, it's superior in the sense that it's talking about a love that you can have for your enemies. But phileo is also important. So I hope that helps. So yes, God has both. We can have both. So, you know, they're both interesting and important words as well.
And they and there's have two others you said?
I mean, yeah. Storge, which is the affection for like family members. Like it's more the natural affection. And Eros, which is the intimate sexual sort of a love that you have for your spouse. Okay.
Got a few more text messages here. Thank you so much, Scaffy. Peter wrote in, thanks for the study this morning. Loved it. I love being challenged to question if my beliefs align with God's word. Thank you so much.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Peter. And we love the fact that you love the study because we love being it as well. It's an important topic.
Dude.
I think it brings so much love into God's picture because to think that God somehow is this cryptic God that just does these terrible things and he just hopes that we understand and we just praise him for that. No. God can be understood in many ways, and one of them is that he hates evil, he hates suffering, and he does not cause them. They're caused by the fact that we live in a free universe.
Yeah.
And that shows a lot of the character of God. He's not about control, he's about love, and love is about freedom.
Absolutely.
Next one, Lawson.
Final one here. Hey, great discussion. Just a thought. I have attended two different Christian churches and both having an emphasis on discipleship this year. Then Lawson shared his story on being discipled from when he was away from God as a teenager. The Holy Spirit is emphasizing this everywhere. Simon.
Simon, praise the Lord for that your churches are emphasizing discipleship. I'll be sad just for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You said that they're emphasizing discipleship this year. I am biased, but discipleship has to be emphasized every day.
Yeah.
Forever and ever. I don't think that the churches should have any other focus. If you're having any focus other than discipleship, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. And don't take me wrong. I'm not trashing, you know, oh, this, you know, we're going to this year focusing in community service. All these things are important, but all of these topics, they need to be looked under. Yeah. What discipleship is. Doing community service, well, how is that helping us to make disciples?
Mm.
And how can we become better disciples by doing so? Because this is the only command that Jesus gave to the church, to make disciples. Everything else comes under that.
Mm.
That's why when we start treating discipleship as just a topic, another one of the topics, we're not making justice to its importance.
Miss the blessing. 100%.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show this morning, and we're wrapping things up. We're coming to an end of a wonderful Monday morning. You'll be with us for the rest of the week, guys. We have more to share on freedom of choice and good news and interesting things happening around the world and in politics, becoming more like Jesus. So guys, stay tuned throughout the rest of the week as well. As usual, Tassie Encounters coming up after this too. Scaffy, what do you want to leave the people with?
I want to live with this. Do not only ask God to do stuff for you, but ask God how you can do stuff for Him and ask Him to help you.
Oh.
In the meantime, talk faith, live faith, and act faith, and you will grow strong in your faith. God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.